our brother Jim Yates.
Time marches on, 91 years.
I want to start this evening with a poem. It's called, "Was the Night Before Jesus Came." 'Twas the night before Jesus came, and all through the house, not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Their Bibles were laid on the shelf without care, in hopes that Jesus would not come there. The children were dressing to crawl into bed, not once ever kneeling or bowing their head. And Mom in her rocker with a babe on her lap was watching the late show while I took a nap. Then out of the east rose such a clatter, I sprang to my feet to see what's the matter. Away to the window I flew in a flash, tore open the shutters and threw open the sash. When to my wondering eyes should appear, but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here. With a light like the sun sending forth a bright ray, I knew in a moment this must be the day. The light of his face made me cover my head. It was Jesus returning just like he had said. And although I possessed worldly wisdom and wealth, I cried when I saw him, in spite of myself. In the book of life which he held in his hand was written the name of ever saved man. He spoke not a word as he searched for my name when he said, "It's not here." I hung my head in shame. The people whose names were written with love, he gathered to take to his Father above. Without those who were already, he rose without a sound, while the rest were left just standing around. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long, and thus sealed my fate. I stood and I cried as they rose out of sight. Oh, if I'd only been ready tonight. I ask you, brothers and sisters, are we ready to meet Jesus when he returns? Are we like those in the poem, going about our everyday lives without a care for our salvation? Let's revisit now a few lines from that poem. When what should my wondering eyes appear, but angels proclaiming that Jesus was here? With a light like the sun, sending forth a bright ray. Jesus is our light. Turn to page 53 in the Book of Mormon. I'm going to read there. First Nephi, chapter 5, a couple of verses. Verse 77, 78. And I also will be your light in the wilderness. And I will prepare the way before you. If it is so be that ye shall keep my commandments. If we want him to be our guide through life, we must keep his commandments to be worthy for him to be our guide. We have guiding lights today, and some are called lighthouses to guide seafaring men safely into port past the rocks and shoals that could lead to their destruction and probably even their deaths if they didn't heed the warning. And we have other lights also that we look on a clear night. Those bright shining dots up there in the sky we call stars. They don't give off much light, even on a clear night. But in the scriptures we find an account of one special extra bright light that gave off bright light right over a stable in Bethlehem. It was there for a very special reason. We are all aware of the significance of that star that God placed there that night to mark the birthplace of his one and only begotten Son. As we have heard in recent sermons, this baby was called many, many names. But is best known to us as Jesus Christ. When he grew up, he made many statements about who he was and what he wasn't. One such statement we will read in John, the 8th chapter, verse 12. It's only one verse. You don't need to turn to it if you don't want to. Then spake Jesus unto them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We have and need many forms of light. But this is the light that we need most to guide us to where we want to go. We'll read about it in Matthew 7th chapter. Matthew 7th chapter 13th and 14th verse. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there are which go at. Because the gate is straight and narrow is the way which leadeth into life, there be few that find it. And I pray that none of us are in that few. Without that light, we would never find that straight gate. All we would find would be the broad way to destruction. Because of his love for all of us, even though we make many mistakes, he will do what he has said in 1 Nephi. Chapter 5, Be page 53. Verse 7 and 8. And I will also be your light in the wilderness. This world is a wilderness which we need our way. Going through it, shine so we can see what we need to see. Verse 78. I will prepare the way for you, if so be it that ye shall keep my commandments. It's up to us. It's our responsibility to do our part to keep the commandments. If we want that light to be on our life, to guide and to keep us in that straight and narrow path. It's a constant battle to keep Satan where he belongs, behind us, not leading us. We are told in the last sentence of the 12th chapter of Luke, verse 48, unto whom much is given, of him shall much be required. For those who have not seen the light and the way to salvation, Satan doesn't really worry too much about them, especially if they haven't been searching for the light and found our way. But once we have seen the light and found our way, we are much harder for to lead astray, because we know that there is a better way of life and a worldly way rather than Satan's way. And he has much work harder to get to us then. Let us make the right choice. Let Jesus be our light. The choice we make is for all eternity. So I pray that we all make the right one. Now to go back to that poem, I want to read one more thing out of it. Not a creature was praying, not one in the house. Do we take time every day to go to God in prayer? We slip and slide often and need to help back to that straight and narrow way. Do we really stop and pray and ask God for direction to get us back on the right path? Or do we just go our way, the way of the world, doing things that don't please God or His Son, Jesus Christ? Remember to pray over everything that has to do with our life. Without God in our life, we are nothing. We need His guidance, His direction in every aspect of our lives. Pray continually and ask for direction in all things we do. In the 16th chapter of Alma, be page 431, verse 238, Alma tells us part of what we can do to help bring about change in our life and put Satan behind us where he belongs. Verse 238. And that ye live in thanksgiving daily. for the many mercies and blessings which he doth bestow upon you. Yea, and I also exhort you, my brethren, that ye be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away by the temptation of the devil, that he may not overpower you, that ye may not become his subject in the last day. For behold, he rewardeth you no good thing. We find in the scriptures from the beginning to the end that there were those who relied on prayer for many different things in their lives. We also find that Jesus communicated with his Father through prayer. And we can find that in 2 Nephi, 13th chapter, on page 161. The last part of verse 15 tells us, follow him and do the things which you see me do. And also in 3rd Nephi, page 651, 8th chapter, 47th and 49th verse tells us this, verily, verily, I say unto you, ye must watch and pray always, lest ye be tempted by the devil, and ye be led away captive by him. And as I have prayed among you, even so shall ye pray in my church, among my people, which do repent and are baptized in my name. Behold, I am the light. I have set the example for you. Again in 2 Nephi, page 164, 14th chapter, verse 11 and 12. For if ye would hearken unto the Spirit which teacheth a man to pray, ye would know that ye must pray. For the evil spirit teacheth a man not to pray, but teacheth him that he must not pray. But behold, I say unto you, that ye must pray always, and not faint, that ye must not perform anything unto the Lord, save it first be place that ye shall pray unto the Father in the name of Christ, that he will consecrate thy performance unto thee, that thy performance may be for the welfare of thy soul. The devil knows the power of prayer. That's why he tries to teach us not to pray. Because he knows if we believe in prayer and we pray, he has no chance to hold on to us. Now let's go to Alma 16 again, page 430. I'm going to start in verse 219. Yea, humble yourself and continue to pray unto him. Cry unto him when ye are in your fields. Yea, when over your flocks, cry unto him in your houses. Yea, over all your household, both morning, midday, and evening. Yea, cry unto him against the power of your enemies. Yea, cry unto him against the devil, which is the enemy to all righteousness. Cry unto him over the crops of your field, that ye may prosper in them. Cry over the flocks of your field, that they may increase. But this is not all. Ye must pour out your souls in your closets, in your secret places, and your wildernesses. Yea, and when you do not cry unto the Lord, let your hearts be full drawn out in prayer unto him continually for the welfare, for your welfare, and also for the welfare of those that are around you. Now let's go to 3 Nephi 52. 652, chapter 8. I'm going to read 51, 52, and 55, the verses. Very familiar scripture. For Satan desireth to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Therefore, ye must always pray unto the Father in my name, that whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, which is right, believing that ye shall receive, behold, it shall be given to you. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in my name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. Now go down to verse 55. Behold, I am the light which ye shall hold up, that which should ye have seen me do. Once again, I'm going to read a piece of that poem. It says, in the book of life which he held in his hand was written the name of every saved man. I fell to my knees, but it was too late. I had waited too long, and thus sealed my fate. Let's go to page 333 in the Book of Mormon, Alma 7, verse 42 and 43. Therefore, prepare the way of the Lord. The time is at hand that all men should reap the reward of their works according to that which they have been. If they have been righteous, they shall reap the salvation of their souls according to the power and the deliverance of Jesus Christ. Now just hang on to that place there. We'll go back to it in just a minute or two here. For those who do not strive to keep the commandments laid down for all men to follow, they too shall receive something that man's mind cannot comprehend. And it too shall be a reward, but not one that you would normally think as a reward. Now continuing back up there on verse 44, page 333. And if they have been evil, they shall reap the damnation according to the power and the captivity. Can we imagine just what the devil has in mind for us if we give in to his will? I doubt it very much. Second Nephi 1:19, one short verse. Woe unto the wicked, for they shall perish, for the reward of their hands shall be upon them. Still in 2 Nephi, go to chapter 6, page 106, verse 21. And our spirits must have become like unto him, and we become devils, angels to the devil, to be shut out from the presence of our God, and to remain with the father of lies in misery like unto himself. I think that this is going to be the reward for the good portion of mankind, unless there's a great change in the way they live their lives. If we don't want to be counted among that majority, we better take a good look at the way we're living right now. What we are doing and saying, and make changes that are needed now. Don't procrastinate. Alma 16 again, page 431. Going to start in verse 235. And this the Lord has said, he dwelleth not in unholy temples, but in the hearts of the righteous doth he dwell. And now, my beloved brethren, I desire that ye should remember these things, and that ye should work out your salvation with fear before God, and that ye should no more deny the coming of Christ, that ye should contend no more against the Holy Ghost, but that ye should receive it, and take upon you the name of Christ, and humble yourselves even to the dust, and worship God in whatsoever place that you may be in spirit and in truth. One short verse in John, 5th chapter. Jesus tells us to search the scriptures, for it is through the scriptures that we read those things that we must do and must not do to gain our salvation. One short verse in 2 Timothy tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God. As we come to the end of another year and another one about to start, we begin to hear people talking about making New Year's resolutions. If you are one that makes resolutions, there are a few that I would suggest that you put at the top of your list. They're very, very important in our lives. If you want a good life here and now, before you have to stand before that judgment bar. If you're not prone to make new resolutions, you still need to fit them into your everyday life. They are to keep his commandments and follow his teachings. We can't go wrong if we do. Jesus says in John 14, 15th verse, if you love me, keep my commandments. And in verse 21, the 14th chapter of John, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Isn't that what we all want? To love and to be loved by our Heavenly Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. And to have our name in that book of life. Let us strive in this coming year to start each day upon waking with prayer. And make time to search the Scriptures and study to show ourselves approved of God in our lives at all times. It will serve us well. And finally, to complete the words of that poem, the meaning is clear. The coming of Jesus is drawing near. There's only one life, and when it comes the last call, we will find that the Bible was true after all. Thank you for your time. May God bless each one of us this coming year. May we all be ready when comes that last call. Thank you.